that on purpose.
We need to add another name.
Okay, we'll call the meeting January 5th, 2017, to order. Honor Guard, will you post the colors, please? Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Commissioner Gonzalez, lead us in Texas pledge.
Please join me in the pledge to the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Okay, have a seat, please. Oh, excuse me, remain standing, I'm sorry. Mr. McMakin, invocation, please.
Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for the opportunity to come to this meeting today. We thank you for the mercies we receive daily. We ask that you would give us wisdom and discernment that we might do the business that would help all Texas firefighters, both men and women, large and small departments. We ask these things in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, be seated, please. Okay, roll call.
Commissioner Anderson.
Here.
Commissioner Carson.
Present.
Commissioner Cortez.
Here.
Commissioner Doster.
Present.
Commissioner Ickes.
Here.
Commissioner Gillette. Here. Commissioner Gonzalez.
Here.
Commissioner Jones.
Here.
Commissioner McMakin.
Here.
Commissioner Moore.
Here.
Commissioner Perez.
Here.
Commissioner Toll.
Here.
Commissioner Whitlock.
She's walking in the door.
We have a quorum.
Okay.
Commissioners, if you would, make sure your mics are on, and also you may need to pull them a little closer to you in order to...
Hello.
Okay, item number two.
Get it? Adoption of the commission meeting minutes of October 27th, 2016.
Move for adoption.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Tull, seconded by Commissioner Perez, to move for adoption. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item number three.
The Budget and Strategic Planning Subcommittees meet separately or together on January 5th, 2017 during the commission meeting and provide reports for discussion and possible action relating to any recommendations developed by the subcommittees, including but not limited to modifications to the agency operating budget and strategic plan.
Any reports from the Budget or Strategic Plan Subcommittees?
Annual has been submitted. It appears that everything is okay. I don't think there's any particular questions. I'll open up for any additional information. Do you have anything that you need to add?
Basically, we have used 23% of the budget, so we're right on track. There hasn't been many changes, but yet this time.
But you addressed the 4%?
I'm sorry?
4% reduction area?
That will be for the next year, fiscal 18 and fiscal 19, which is under, which we'll see through the legislative session.
Does the commissioner, any commissioners have any questions concerning that 4% required reduction for the next buy-in? Any questions from the commission?
Okay, anything else?
That's it for me.
Okay, hearing nothing else, item number four.
Reports from fire service interest groups and agencies on matters related to organizational purposes, functions, and objectives, including but not limited to the Texas Fire Chiefs Association, Texas State Association of Firefighters, the State Firemen's and Fire Marshal Association of Texas, Texas Fire Marshal Association, Texas Association of Fire Educators, the Texas A&M Forest Service, the National Fire Protection Association, Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts, and the State Fire Marshal's Office.
Okay, representative from the Texas Fire Chiefs Association.
Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Betty Wilkes. I'm the Executive Director of the Texas Fire Chiefs Association. For those of you that don't know, I'll be really brief. We're getting ready for our executive conference coming up in less than 2 weeks, and we're getting our calendar ready for the year. We'll have what we usually have, the two Fire Chiefs Academy in Austin and Garland, and then we'll have an EMS Chiefs Academy again in April in San Marcos, I believe. We'll continue to have the Company Officer Symposia. Those have been very successful, and especially helping with succession planning and that for the fire service. Let's see, what else? We also just wrapped up in November, the second annual LODD conference, and we have plans already to do a third conference, which is virtually planned already in October in Hearst again. So we're getting ready for the legislative session. We're very big fans of the Commission on Fire Protection, and so we are going to work again very hard and diligently, and have been, to get the rest of that rider removed, do everything we can to get the rest of that rider removed. So looking forward to that. And part of our legislative priorities, of course, are to support the commission however we can, and to get the Texas Forest Service fully funded so that they can do all the good work that they continue to do. So those are two of the highlights, not just included but not exhaustive. So, and I do want to report that going around to the regional meetings, your staff is awesome. Tim comes and he speaks to our regional directors and to the membership, and he's just outstanding. He's there to answer questions. He's in the hot seat, and he does a really good job. So I might tell you that offline, but I want to tell you that on the record. So any questions for me, I'm happy to answer. And just please know that we have a pretty good infrastructure for contact and marketing. So if we can ever be of service, just please let me know, and we'll do it. So
thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Texas State Association of Firefighters.
Hello, I'm Glenda Shields with the State Association of Firefighters. Not a whole lot going on other than preparations for the legislative session. We've got a lot on our plate. Not a lot that we're pushing forward, but a lot other people are pushing forward on us. We are going to work on this, getting rid of this rider. We may have a favorable chairman on the House side, and I think on the Senate side, I don't know, that's going to be the harder part, but I think the House side, and hopefully, you know, that'll make the... That'll get it through. Unfortunately, I think there's going to be a special session, so we're going to get two or three times to work on this budget. So, y'all have any questions? Thank y'all.
Thank you, sir. Texas State Firemen's and Fire Marshals Association of Texas. Texas Fire Marshals Association.
Hi, Laurie Christensen. Thank you for letting me be here today. Just want to go over that we had our conference in October here in Austin. Had a great success again this year. We had 328 attendees. As of right now, we have 401 members, and that includes lifetime members. We have our next mid-year meeting at the Arson Conference in March, here in Austin. We also brought in a new president, which is myself, Laurie Christensen. We have a new vice president, which is John Paul Erskine out of Burnett, Texas. And then we have a second vice president, which is Ariane Hargrove, and she is out of Rockwall, Texas. So you'll be seeing us at the commission meetings. If I can't attend, we're definitely going to make sure we have members here. So we're really excited. I passed out our association goals and one of our flyers. One of the things we're going to do this year is put out a goal list and make sure we adhere to that. And one of the first things you see on there is building relationships. That's one of the things we're doing here. We've been going around, had a great meeting with the state fire marshal, Chris Keneally, and met with Tim and the state firemen and fire marshals and various groups. And we've always had good relationships, but we really want to build those and make those stronger and make sure we're a voice for all. Legislative initiative, obviously, that session's coming up, and we're going to be supportive of the commission and some other things that are out there. Communication, we're really pushing our website, again, making ourselves available through email, Facebook, every social media avenue that we can, because we know we're all busy and sometimes phone calls are difficult. Lineage, we will be celebrating our 40th anniversary this coming October conference, and we're really excited about that. And you're going to be seeing information come out. We're going to do everything we can to bring the members back from the inaugural 1977 first year of the charter. And then standard operating processes. One of the things we're going to do is really putting together what our committees do, what our association does, and we've got CPA, we've got different things in place, so some of our financial policies and procedures we're putting out there. Something I do want to announce today is we've been working for the last 18 months, the association has a membership through various conferences and meetings on a fire marshal's training program. I actually am a member of the 1037 committee for NFPA, which is Professional Qualifications of Fire Marshals. One of the things that we hear every time we go up to our meetings is there's not a set training program for fire marshals. We do a great job training fire chiefs, boots on the ground staffing, but fire marshals, that's one of those things that we just don't get out there and say this is how to be a fire marshal. There is the 1037 standard that has the JPRs, and our association has been pushing how do we meet those JPRs and train to that standard. So we're going to announce that the Fire Marshal Professional Qualifications Program will be held. The first class is going to be held on May 8th through the 12th of 2017. It is part of the what we call the FEMAT Fire Marshal Program, the Fire Executive Management Training Program for Fire Marshals. We've partnered with the Bill Blackwood Institute at Sam Houston State University. Many of you know that fire marshals are law enforcement officials as well in most agencies. And one of the things that we saw was the Leadership Command College and their police chief's training program and the different things they've had, we would fall very well into that, and we felt that that would be a great partnership. It's going to provide leadership training for fire marshals consistent with the provisions and JPRs of NFPA 1037. The initial program will be 80 hours, and it will be taught in two separate modules, two 40-hour modules. We're going to be reaching out to the state fire marshal, the Texas Fire Commission, Texas Commission on Law Enforcement for instructors, as well as LEMIT themselves, Law Enforcement Institute, will include state and nationals SMEs that are going to be teaching this program. Again, the date for the course is May 8th through the 12th, 2017 for Module 1. Module 2 is September 11th through the 15th of 2017. Admission to the program will be on a competitive basis through an application process that will be registered online. Cost current funding is being sought through partnerships through the Texas Fire Marshals Association. And this training is not intended for profit or any of the entities, but this is strictly to train our Texas fire marshals, whether they be appointed, placed through municipalities, or even volunteers. This is not a mandatory program. This is just something that we want to offer them on what does NFPA 1037 say the professional qualifications are. And so we're really excited about that. We really want to bring up the leadership and the training for fire marshals. So any questions or anything I can offer, I'll be happy to answer those now or even after the meeting. Okay. Thank you so much. Yes, sir.
Thank you. Busy.
Thank you.
I got a question for
Texas Association of Fire Educators.
I didn't want to bring it up, but I had a question.
Texas A&M Forest Service.
Good morning, Commission. My name is Jim Leonardos with Texas A&M Forest Service. Good morning. On behalf of the Forest Service, we want to let you all know that we have a year-round fire season here in Texas, and we're headed into the winter part of that. We want to let you know there's a problem with that. Winter fires tend to be sneaky. They tend to come before snowstorms or right after snowstorms. We tend to burn a lot of acres in the wintertime, so be careful for that. We got a lot of high fuel loading statewide. You've seen it out there. It's all cured, and it's ready to go. We want to encourage you guys to keep an eye on it. We also want to encourage you to go to our website and take a look at how to prepare for these. Also, a good opportunity for your folks in the fire service to get out and do training on Ready, Set, Go, get the population ready for the inevitable wildfire that they may have happen. So, on behalf of Texas Forest Service, just want a heads up on that. Also, on our website, we've gone to preparedness levels in our regions, which is kind of new. So, when you go to that TIC website, if you've ever been there and look at that, the Texas Interagency Coordination Center, we have a preparedness level on that. It goes 1 to 4, 1 being the lowest, 4 being the highest. Take a look at that. It's a kind of a way we have a bunch of indices that we put in there, everything from the fuel dryness to past fires, and we put all together and we come up with a preparedness level, which kind of tells you what you can expect in that area. It's a big state. It's different parts of the state have different weather, so keep an eye on that. We encourage you to take a look at that. And if there's anything we can do for you, please give us a call. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. National Fire Protection Association.
There you go.
Good morning. Hope everyone had a great Christmas and a happy New Year. 2016 was a pretty tough year for a lot of people. Y'all know we had a lot of large loss fires, fire deaths, you know, across the country, and most recently in Oakland, and we had some 14 people die out in East Tennessee in the wildfires out there in November. You all know that NFPA, we're, and I tell you every time, 1896, a nonprofit organization, and our first standard was a sprinkler standard. Today we have over 300 different codes and standards, and in 2016, in just home fire deaths, there were 2,288 people who died in their homes in fires. That's not counting the people that died in Oakland, people that died in wildfires, and people that died in other fire incidents. But, you know, we're still, it's going down a little bit. That's good to say, but we're still, for the most modern country in the world, that's still not anything to brag about. We have one of the highest fire death rates in the world for industrialized countries. So far this year, as of this morning, there were 21 fire deaths in the United States in 2017. In Texas, so far, as of this morning, there were none reported. The last time I spoke with you all, I touched on some an issue that's going to be a big issue for the fire service and others in the next few years, and it was data. And keep if you can stay plugged in on the data, we have a lot of things we're working on data, and it's going to really help the fire service. And it's got, I mean, real-time data that we're working on. But there's another issue I wanted to talk to you about, and there's a real good article on our website about this. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's called Energy Storage Systems. It's going to be a big issue for the fire service coming up. You know, a lot of these big buildings and the hospitals and the schools and a lot of homes, too, have these generators that come on and power on and when the power goes out or whatever. But now companies are storing energy when the cost of energy is down low. And when the price spikes, they're using their stored energy to save money. Or when the power goes out, they're using their stored energy. They now have them for the home. Tesla has two different types. One's called the power wall. And it hangs on your wall in your utility room or your garage. And it's not much bigger than those pictures behind you all there. And it will power your house for a certain time. They're kind of expensive right now. I think the starting price is $5,500. But they sold out like that when they put them on the market a few months ago. Now they're taking orders for 2017. These things are going to get cheaper. They're going to get smaller. And they're going to they're going to last longer and power more devices for a longer period of time as the technology improves. But what FEMA has done, been in contact with NFPA and UL, and we have a FEMA grant. And our Fire Protection Research Foundation is doing some studying on energy storage systems, and we're looking at whether or not we're going to create a new standard on energy storage and how the fire service deals with it and their emergency response and so on and so forth. We have a class. We've developed a class online, and it's self-paced. It's for the fire service, strictly for the fire service, and how they respond, how they recognize certain issues, and what they look for when they, because you just don't know what buildings, what kind of storage systems they have, especially when it, when it's going to be in more and more into the residential market. But please get it out to your departments. Get it out to, you know, get it on our front page of our website. You can register when you want to take the class. It's self-paced, and it takes, I think it's 3 or 4 hours long, but you receive a certificate after you complete it as well. We've already put some in NFPA 1 and NFPA 70, our electrical code, we address the energy storage systems, but like I said, I'm pretty sure it, I can't say until the Fire Protection Research Foundation completes their study, but it looks like we're leaning towards at this time just creating a whole new standard, because this is going to be a big issue, and there's going to be some instances, just like there have been with the electric cars, you know, when people, several instances, I'm sure you remember, they parked the car in a garage and the car catches on fire overnight when it wasn't running or anything, and firefighters have had some issues on when you respond to electrical car fire, how do you extinguish it, how do you know if the engine is still on, how do you know if, you know, a number of other issues, but this is going to be another issue the fire service is going to have to deal with. You know, just keep adding up, doesn't it? More and more, and it's not going to stop. This technology is good, but some ways it really puts it, for the fire service anyway, it puts can be tasking on the fire service. Please look at our website. We have a new website. It's much more user-friendly than our old tedious website used to be. There's just a ton of information you can search for and that you can get that's free. And I think I mentioned that firefighter class for the energy storage systems, that is free for the fire service as well. Y'all know you can always contact me if I can help you in any way, and if you have any questions for anything. All right. Thank you. Happy New Year.
Randy. Texas State Association of Fire and Emergency Districts. The State Fire Marshal's Office.
Good morning, Commissioners. I know it's shocking that I'm here, and but I'm trying to do better this year, not travel as much, block out the date for the commission meeting. It's important, so thank you for y'all's service and what y'all do. Chris Keneally, State Fire Marshal, and first off, talk about the Oakland fire incident. We put out a memo from our office. Oakland, they had a fire station 500 feet away from that building. And certainly what happened in Oakland is not unique just to Oakland or California, but throughout the country. And quite frankly, what we're encouraging the fire service, there's two primary ways to help prevent a situation that developed in Oakland. Certainly having a robust pre-fire planning program with your emergency operations group. So they get into these commercial buildings, and certainly they can, if they see a problem certainly with code violations, they can call their local fire marshal, their department, or state fire marshal's office, whomever. And certainly those jurisdictions with a fire marshal's office, have you done a risk analysis of all the buildings in your community, and you're prioritizing your inspections and what have you? I know certainly come from a community in Cedar Park, and the Chief Malinger's here, is that you're just trying to keep up with new construction, as many communities are across Texas with a very good economy. But certainly you need to identify those buildings that are not sprinklered and others that you might want to prioritize higher on the list. And that's how we do state buildings or our inventory, about 16,000 of those that we have inspection cycles depending, like state hospitals we do annually, dormitories every 2 years, things of that nature. And so strongly encourage that because it could happen here just as well as what it did in California. And then continuing on with the fire investigations, we do the quarterly forums. We started that in 2013, and that continues. We'll be in Laredo January 31st, February 2nd, and then in May we'll be in Fort Worth, and then in September we're in Amarillo, and then in December we're in Beaumont. So truly all over Texas, and that's not including our fire marshal discussion series where we do both inspections, type-oriented classes, licensing, as well as fire investigations. So we're all over the state and certainly provide, and all our training's free, which is not always helpful to department budgets. But what I was saying about the fire investigations, we're continuing on with the Forensic Science Commission, those 17 recommendations that came from that group, and our science advisory work group, it's hard to believe now, it's going into its fourth year. And it's been very good, and we're certainly encouraging the local fire departments and other fire marshal offices in the counties and what have you to come to those forums. We do a day and a half of training, and then we do a day and a half of reviews, and we're really emphasizing to stay for the case reviews that we do out of our office. We've already reviewed all our convictions with transparency. We partnered with the Innocence Project of Texas. I think you lead from the front, and I wanted to certainly set that example for our office. So we've reviewed all our convictions. So now we're reviewing undetermined fires, cold cases. We're always welcome take local cases if y'all want to bring those forth to the SAW. There's no charge. You just got to work with you to get that case file there and then get your staff there to that meeting. Free is the key word here. But, you know, it's one thing to say you're going to do all these things. The hard part, as y'all all know, certainly as the chiefs on the panel, that you can announce something. We got this new program going. The hard work is doing it year in and year out. And so we're doing that, and it's been very helpful for our organization, and certainly all the training that we're doing across the states is we need to provide that to assist, because a lot of the, whether it be the Texas Fire Marshal Association, Texas Chapter IAAI, other groups that we partner with, and they do training, we go to it, and we do training, they come to ours. And so collaborative nature, and that's what I love about the fire service. So anyway, that said, any questions for me?
I'm surprised you're here. I figured you'd be in Galveston today.
Well, they had a little incident there yesterday. We got some of my staff down there, fire UTMB Hospital, and Galveston Fire Department did a great job, and they got the Houston Medical Strike Team involved and my former department, and so a lot going on there in Galveston. So we're doing a fire investigation, and we'll have our inspectors, because obviously that's a state building. So, okay. Well, thank you very much, and appreciate what y'all do.
Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
Are there any other special interest groups or agencies that we may have missed? Okay, hearing none, we'll move to item number 5.
Discussion and possible action concerning reports by the Commission representative to the Texas Fire School Advisory Board and by representatives of Texas Engineering Extension Service regarding the fire protection training provided by TEEGS through its Emergency Services Training Institute.
Okay, let me just state now that the representative for the Commission is currently at TEEGS at the board meeting. It was today also. So he will give his report at our next commission meeting on our on the last two advisory board meetings. Okay.
Should we table this one, Mr. Chairman?
Yeah, I mean it's a standing item, agenda item. Item number 6.
Discussion and possible action regarding report from Commission representative to the Homeland Security Council.
Commissioner Gonzalez.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. There has not been a Homeland Security meeting since we gave a report in October at our October Commission on Fire Protection meeting. Although the agency did meet the required goals and required Homeland Security strategic plan implementation, so each year Governor's Homeland Security Committee is required each state agency to submit their implementation plan by November 30th, and I'm proud to announce that the Commission on Fire Protection did meet that deadline and turned in our implementation plan for our responsibility and response parameters under the Homeland Security Strategic Plan. So that was submitted and completed and submitted up to the Governor's Office for final approval. We will begin that process every year. In 2017, we've already got the template out, ready for approval to that document throughout the year that we'll be working. Our next meeting is January 17th here in Austin from 10 to noon, and I will be attending that meeting to give you a report in our April meeting. End of report.
Okay. Anybody have any questions? Okay, hearing none. Item number 7.
Discussion and possible action on development of a fire inspector certification that does not include all current rule components.
Okay, I'll open this up with Chief Ekus.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the commissioners, I think probably what would be best is for me to read an email that was submitted to the chair and to the executive director, and for the benefit of each commissioner, but also for those in our audience that may or may not be familiar with the process and that may or may not have questions about it, perhaps this will be a little bit clearer. But the ad hoc committee was formed at the request of this body, if you will, and we had already met once and came back, gave a report, and then were encouraged to meet again and to be inclusive of all interest groups. That was a good word, and we heeded that, and I think came to a good, strong resolve. The ad hoc committee established to review the possibility of improving the offerings associated with the TCFP inspector certification, convened on Thursday, December the 15th, 2016, at the commission offices in Austin at 8:30 a.m. This was the second face-to-face meeting, but at this gathering, we were encouraged to be inclusive of all interest groups. The revised committee was made up of one staff member, one commissioner, fire chief, and previous advisory committee member, one commissioner, fire chief, one commissioner, lieutenant, and representative of TSAF, one firefighter and advisory member also representing TSAF, one fire marshal and committee member to the original certification draft committee for the original certification, one fire marshal and representative of SFFMA, and one fire chief and representative of TFCA, Texas Fire Chiefs Association, one assistant fire chief, fire marshal, and a sitting member of the advisory committee, and one fire chief who originally brought the formal challenge before this commission. Our workshop began with a roundtable discussion where an emphasis was placed on making certain that all interest groups' voices represented by the membership were heard. The chair felt that this was important to explore the negatives expressed early on by one or two of the groups to determine if we could develop a plan to ease those concerns or if they were in fact substantial enough to validate a reasoning to recommend that the commission take no action on the new proposal. In the end, it was agreed that communication and accountability for implementation and function of the new certification would be a vital part of the success of the program. Therefore, the group voted unanimously to make the following proposal to the commission for consideration and possible action at this meeting. To maintain the current TCFP inspector certification and to add an option for those choosing to expand the capabilities of their department or division. In recognizing that our current offering does not truly follow NFPA recommendations or makeup, meaning Fire Inspector 1, Fire Inspector 2, Fire Inspector 3, and Plans Examiner 1 and 2. We agreed that a move towards alignment with such standards was of benefit to many. Therefore, to direct staff to develop an Inspector 1 certification. The information necessary to develop an Inspector 1 certification already exists in the TCFP database, and the committee suggests that we not reinvent the wheel, but use current curriculum and standards already in place and recognized through NFPA. That the training be competency-based and the necessary hours to complete the training be left to the training facility or coordinators. That certificate holders meet the qualifications established in Chapter 4 of NFPA 1031 and be allowed to conduct inspections as described in said chapter. That staff determine the feasibility of adding a spot check for verification of department and individual compliance to the established threshold in the annual department reviews currently conducted by TCFP compliance officers. If possible, to offer an option for an IFSAC seal for this certification. And then finally, that Chapter 429 be amended to reflect the new certification and to stipulate the threshold of authority as described by NFPA Chapter 4, also noted above. The committee wants to stress the inspector certification currently offered by TCFP will remain as is for the current period. It's clear that appointed officials of regulated entities who complete all functions of a fire marshal will require this certification. The proposed addition does not alter or amend the current certification, nor is it offered to provide a means for departments to lessen the requirements for individuals charged with duties outside of the scope of Chapter 4 of NFPA. I.e. investigate the requirements, complex complaints, enforcement permit applications, and such. It's firmly believed that this offering affords departments additional options to then inspect occupancies that are not currently being inspected. This in itself will increase firefighter safety and owner-occupant safety, which is our primary purpose and goal. Furthermore, we anticipate that this will be the first step of several to realign the inspector certification with current NFPA standards. The first step allows the Commission to ease into a transition of alignment with nationally recognized standards. Should the Commission decide to eventually align the entire certification with current NFPA standards, development of Inspector 3 curriculum and competency would need to be introduced through the normal process. Mr. Chair, I appreciate the efforts of this committee, a diverse group with very pointed opinions and very strong intellect. But I believe that collectively, we came to an equitable resolve that is in the best interest of the citizens and firefighters that we are charged to serve. It's into my report.
Any discussion? Open up discussion.
Commissioners, I just want to thank you for letting me be here one last time. I think y'all hope too. It's been an eventful process. I've learned a lot, and I think by most of the letters you received, the fire service is backing this request. The few that have written against it, I really feel don't understand what my original question and email said. My original email never said that you can do pre-plans right now without this certification. And a lot of people keep bringing that up. I'm really looking, and Chief Stevens from San Marcos and other chiefs I've talked to are looking for the ability to get more inspections done, which is going to make our community safer. And we feel this fix that was just talked to y'all about from the ad hoc committee will do that, and we just ask that you please approve it. I'm here if you have any questions.
Good morning. My name is Brent Parker. I'm the fire chief in Wiley. I wrote all of y'all a letter. I assume you received. I'm probably in the minority on this. I do not agree in creating a lower level of certification. One of the most important functions of the fire service is to prevent fires. And if we are not currently meeting NFPA standards for the inspectors, to me, as a fire chief, we should be progressing the fire service forward, not creating a lower level certification to fill a gap. I struggle with trying to understand the reasoning why we push the fire service forward, but now it feels like we're taking a step back. It's my responsibility as a fire chief to protect my community, and I would not, I mean, we all get basic inspector knowledge in fire academy, and I don't understand the concept behind this, and I disagree with it. So that's kind of my stance on this. If we're here to prevent fires, injuries, deaths, and to protect our citizens, I don't understand creating a lower level certification. I do want to thank y'all for all y'all do, because I know it's time consuming.
Commissioner Anderson?
There was discussion of a great deal in our ad hoc committee. This is not a lower level. We do not want a lower level. We're just trying to align the program with NFPA. That is not the intent. That was brought out and discussed at length. In the initial beginning, there was some discussion of offering a fire company officer lower program washed down a little bit. That was discarded quickly. And this is not a, so in my opinion, this is not a lower level.
Okay, I guess it hasn't been explained clearly enough for me to understand.
This is just aligning the current program we have into phases like NFPA does. Okay. Is that not correct, Chief Ekus?
Yeah, Chief Parker, you bring up a good point. Thank you. But it is our goal. If you look at the current certification that's offered by TCFP today, even in its design, where it meets all of the requirements, and I want to be clear, it meets all the requirements of NFPA. It's just not aligned with it, and it doesn't give as many options as NFPA offers to you, the fire chief, the end user. And so really what we're trying to do is to build the ladder, if you will, to get us to where we are already today, but to do that in succession or in steps, which really does nothing more than give you options in your department as to how you go about doing that.
So are there,
the goal being that all the buildings get inspected.
Are there not already basic, intermediate, advanced, and master inspector?
There are, but that's time in chair, if you will.
That doesn't require additional education?
It's time in grade and CEs. You, in order to gain an inspector certification today, I don't mean to be talking out of turn, but to gain it today, you must go through all the steps, including plans examiner.
Correct.
And the thought process is from some of your peers that, in fact, their company officers or their even some of their inspectors don't do certificates of occupancy, pre-construction review, things like that. So there's really no need for them to have that plans review portion. And it is for them, it's that time in grade, if you will. So just a differing of opinion. I certainly...
Sure, I just don't... Again, that's where I don't understand why we would not want that additional knowledge. If all we're removing is plans examiner, is that additional training and knowledge not beneficial to a company officer or to those that are making inspections? And that's really all my stance. We are... developing a lower level certification. If we are removing any component of that training, we are developing a lower level certification.
I see it as today like Fire Officer 1 and 2. A person can take Fire Officer 1, and if they don't choose to move forward, they can stay there. And that's the way this program will be set up, is to my understanding. If they choose to take Fire Inspector 1 and 2 and they change career paths, they don't have to go forward. In the previous program that we offer today, I believe in to get to the end point, it's a solid, straight-through program. And I don't think that's... This just gives you more flexibility, is the way I understand it.
And I appreciate that. It's my opinion. It's just like the firefighter certifications. The starting point is basic firefighter, and you don't have to advance, intermediate, advanced, or master if you don't choose to do so. So, I mean, I'm just providing my opinion, and I appreciate that opportunity to do so.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask the chief a question. I'm just trying to wrap my head around the problem, too, right? We got letters from people that are for it and letters that are against it. But I'm trying to figure out, you as the manager of your department, wouldn't that give you more flexibility, as Commissioner Anderson said? I mean, as far as adding additional resources to do some projects that you could have the other hire people do? I mean, isn't that what it's all about? And we would give you that flexibility.
I don't guess I'm understanding your question.
So
I mean,
if you have more lower level, not lower level, but other resources to go do the inspections at the Inspector 1 level, does that make any sense?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's your basic inspector. In our organization, our fire marshal's office does 100% of our inspections. Our companies do not go out and do inspections. They go out and do pre-plans, and currently we're allowed to go out and do pre-plans. And we receive enough minimal information and training during Basic Fire Academy that anyone should know that if they have too many things plugged into an outlet, if exits aren't lit or they're blocked, if they identify those things when they're out doing a pre-plan, they simply notify the fire marshal's office to follow up and go out and do an inspection.
And this would still allow them to do that.
That's how we conduct it currently today in our in my department. I understand that not every department has that capability and they require their companies to go out and do inspections. I just struggle with, if we already have a system in place that can advance through an inspector level, and we are removing pieces of the curriculum, such as plans examiner, which that sounds like what is being removed. I don't know why we would remove a part of the curriculum if we, as a fire chief, are continually trying to progress the fire service, and that is valuable information that would assist in an inspector's job. That's the only struggle I have with this. I don't agree with that, and I just wanted to voice my opinion.
But it's not about money.
I like discussing it, so
I appreciate your
keep asking questions.
You bet. This is an option. It's not a requirement for your department. It's an option. That's one thing that you can continue.
I agree with all that. I'm not debating the options or not. I'm debating the fact that we are creating a lower level certification, and I disagree with that. I understand there's options. There's options in everything we do. I don't have to be a master firefighter or a master educator or anything else. I don't have to be a fire chief for that fact. I disagree in the fact that we are creating a lower level certification by removing pieces of the curriculum for whatever reason.
I appreciate your opinion.
Thank you.
Is there going to be time for discussion after everybody talks, or is this the time to do it?
No, we're going to let everybody talk, and then we'll, as commissioners, we'll
I want to just bring something up to Commissioner Ickes.
Hey, can he I hate to interrupt, but he's been shaking his head at me the whole time, and I'm ready to sit down, so, you know.
I don't like the term lower level. We're not lowering anything.
It's terminology. We can agree, disagree.
Your city may not be growing as fast as some of these other cities are, and they have businesses and buildings and things like that that are not getting inspected in any way, shape, or form. And all we're saying is, you know, allowing them the opportunity, is it not better to have some kind of cursory inspection than no inspection? They do not have the resources that maybe the city of Wylie has. We're not saying it's not great, you know. If you get a PhD rather than, you know, drop out of junior high school, that's a whole lot better, perhaps, depending on what you're after. But that's the issue, is we're trying to balance out how we can help the fire service of Texas, big, small, little, medium, whatever, and we're not, this is not lower. This is a first step.
Are you removing pieces of the curriculum?
No.
So they're going to go to plans examiner?
If they want
NFPA,
to.
If they want to.
Go check with the gentleman from NFPA and see if we have lowered any standard. And the answer to that, I'll bet you a nickel to a donut, is no.
I disagree.
I'm not asking against NFPA. I'm asking against our current curriculum.
I will.
For basic inspector. That currently requires plans examiner, correct?
Yes.
And that is now going to become an option. And I just wanted to voice my opinion. I have no intentions of arguing the point at all. That's my opinion.
Sure.
I respect y'all's opinion. I just wanted to publicly state this, along with sending you the letter that I wrote, because in my opinion, I feel that we are not progressing the fire service, whether we're giving them options or not. That is just my opinion. I understand everything that y'all stated. I appreciate the opportunity to stand up here and express my opinion as well.
We appreciate you.
Thank you, Matt.
Chief.
Brent, we did receive the letter, and we have copy of it. So thank you, Chief.
Thanks. Commissioner Gillette.
I just want to wait till all the speakers are done, and okay. I'd like to give my comments then.
Glenda Shields with the State Association of Firefighters. I can answer your question a little bit. A lot of times there's a worry that when too much flexibility is given, there's a race to the bottom, which would lead to a lesser inspection system. That's our big concern. Representing the guys that have to run into these things when there's fires, we're very, very concerned about this. You know, without seeing the rules or anything, we've got a little ways to go. We can comment on that side. A lot of this can be taken care of in the rules, I think. And if we're staying compliant with NFPA, that's a plus, definitely. The one thing that was brought up was, is a cursory inspection better than no inspection with all? I would disagree with that, because a bad inspection gives you a false sense of security. I would like these to be good inspections,
right?
In the end, I think we need to make sure that's addressed in the rules. Make sure cities don't just move to this lower level. It is a lower level of inspector because they can't do plans examination, but you know, if it's done right, I think it could be all right. But that's all I have. Anybody have any questions? Yes, sir.
Plans examiners are for primarily either remodeling or new construction.
Okay. Yes, sir.
If it's already built and never been inspected, and it's not ever going to be because you do not have the resources to go do it, at 3 o'clock in the morning, what makes it more unsafe or safer?
Who doesn't have the resources?
That's what these gentlemen are saying.
Well, I'm not disagreeing with there being a creation of it, but what I'm saying is there's 4,000 inspectors, and it's actually more than that, in the state right now, that they're not utilizing those. I mean, I could say there's plenty of inspectors right now. How is this going to change how that works now? I mean, are they going to hire more?
They may have 20 in Frisco or Plano or whatever.
Correct.
And Cedar Park may have one.
Correct.
But it's growing like wildfire. We just say,
Oh, I understand what you're saying, but how is that?
That's what they brought up to us initially.
Correct. But how is that going to? I think we have a money issue. We're talking about two separate things. We're talking about a money issue and more inspectors. That's not something I think we can solve here. That's going to be on the city level.
No, you're right.
Okay. Thank y'all.
Thank you, Glenn. Good morning, Commissioners. My name is Jim Reedy from Texas State Association of Firefighters. I have questions because I know that this is going to come back around to the Firefighter Advisory Committee. Is it single-use or single-family is what the basic is going to be for?
Make it easy, it'll fit both.
Single-use or single-family occupancies?
Single use.
So any commercial building that's for single use?
Yes.
Okay. And then I had heard that staff was going to be working on this, but are they going to send it back through curriculum and testing and so that they can work up some of the language and look at the everything that's going to happen with this?
The curriculum and testing for this, as I understand it, help me if I'm wrong, is already in place. We'll just draw from that.
That's correct. And there's no additional cost to put that together.
No.
And then as a company officer, I want to tell you that the liability for the company officer to get this basic inspection training without any of the upper level, regardless of whether you think plans examiner or whatever, for me, any education in anything I do is valuable. Just like when we had to all take building construction when we became engineers and officers. I don't know if I could pass plans examiner or not, but I'm sure that the information and the education would be valuable. When I was walking up to that building in the middle of the night, anything that I could know about that building would probably be valuable. But the liability that you're putting on the company officers to make these kind of decisions, inspection decisions, because we know that the fire marshal and the fire inspectors, they get a lot of pressure brought to bear when they don't pass a building or when they write a violation up. As an officer doing a pre-fire survey or just a walkthrough, I mention it to them, you know, it's not a threat. It's just, hey, here's a heads up for you, and you need to do this. But now I'm going to be going through maybe writing tickets or writing violations or whatever the fire inspector does. My city is growing by leaps and bounds. I just took in an area in the county from my particular response area. And I drove up and down and looked at everything and saw, yeah, none of that stuff's been inspected. And while we can blame that on the state fire marshal, but but me going into those buildings with just a basic, not knowing anything about those buildings, about the plans and the pipes and the electric and all that, and then passing it through, that's a huge liability for me. Huge. But me, as a 28-year guy, what about the 5-year guy that's looking to move up in his career and maybe build his resume and hoping to get an appointment? You're putting a lot of pressure and a lot of liability on a guy like that.
That's a decision of the city, whether they want to take in an area and buildings that haven't been inspected, or whether they want to have someone from the fire marshal's office or someone like that go do the initial inspection of that building.
Well, the question of growth came up, so yeah. I got firsthand knowledge of that kind of growth.
I mean, I think we're arguing stuff, though, that we have no control over. That's a city function, city decision.
And I'm not arguing about it. I'm just trying to give it to you from the bottom level. The people are going to be doing this kind of thing. So, and as far as how many inspectors everybody has, that's also a city decision.
Yes.
You know, that's a city decision too. So, I get it. This is going to happen. Try and make the best of it, and we need to make the best of it for everybody. But we also need to think about the people that are walking into the buildings to do the inspections, not necessarily also going in to do the firefighting. So. Oh, and then the specialization. I would just tell you, as an officer, I love calling the fire inspector to come out and take care of a problem because he's a specialist in that field. He has all that knowledge of all three of those sections of that fire
fire inspector certification. So I'd like to call him and have him come out and look at whatever problem we perceive it is. So I don't think
this would prohibit you from doing that.
Well, but I get the impression, because I've sat through all these too, that I'm going to be the guy that's signing my name off on the CFO for that fire inspection. That's going to be me. That's not going to be the fire inspector, the fire prevention guy. It's going to be the company officer, regardless of however many years. It might be a guy that's acting up. In a smaller department, it might be a guy that just came in. So that's going to be us. That's not going to be anybody above our level. So that's my impression. So thank you.
Oh. A question over here.
Mr. Carson.
I'm not a firefighter. I'm a business owner at several offices. In the area where we have ample people come out and inspect offices, every 2 or 4 years, whichever, I can't remember, I would have a fire, some firefighters come through, do a walkthrough, the checklist, and look at things. And then they would get my signature, leave me a copy, and they move out. Okay, if I didn't want to call a shredding company to get rid of all the paper files for 3 or 4 boxes, I'd stack them up in the back, and eventually I'd forget about it and wouldn't think about it, and I'd be blocking the exit. And they would tell me about it and say, I recommend I get rid of that. Now, based on my understanding, that's just covered in basic firefighting training, to be able to observe just visual problems without actually going into looking at wires, lifting up ceiling tiles, and seeing if I try to rewire something. The basics, as a business owner, as I'm building a business, sometimes I'm not paying attention. My understanding is that in the area that the gentleman brought out, that they were having difficulty with getting people out to do just basic. And if they found a problem, then they would go back to the expert and say, we need an expert out here to really see if this problem is deeper than what I'm qualified to do. Is that not what we're doing?
That's what we do now.
My understanding from the conversation from a month ago or 2 months ago, however long ago, I lose track of time, I'm over 65. But anyway, whenever we had that conversation, was that we were trying to get to that level to allow those non-inspected buildings that have not been inspected in the last 20 years to get at least someone walking through and finding the immediate problems, and if they felt there was something deeper, to at least focus the fire marshal's office on those areas where they needed someone to come in and do detailed inspections. That's what I understand we're doing. But the conversation I'm hearing is about something else.
This way of doing it is going to leave all that up to the local entity, the jurisdiction having authority to determine how they want it done.
And that cheaper option is, I'll just say it, that cheaper option sometimes is the option that people go to. I mean, we've talked about cheaper options and different things up here, and as long as a cheaper option meets the legal requirement, the statutory requirement, I'm not saying everybody's going to do it, but I bet there's going to be a majority of people that'll do
but
it.
The comment was made about the, I forget what the comment is, but the recipient of all this is me, the business owner, the homeowner. I'm the recipient. Now, whether or not the type of certification is exemplary enough to foster progress in the career ladder doesn't make me the recipient any difference. What makes me a difference is someone that has more training than me as a homeowner or a business owner can come through and says, Elroy, you might think you've done that right, but that ain't working.
I agree.
That's what I want. Now, whether or not that person wants to be the firefighter, wants to take a modified certification, or do all the work, doesn't matter to the recipient. I just don't want to burn up. Do you understand what I'm saying?
But the firefighter does not, that's not his choice. That's the municipality's choice to decide, am I going to have that firefighter do that this level, this level, this level, or this level, and regardless of what you think.
Okay, but so, I'm saying this wrong then. I'm just saying that if I'm in a community that does not have the number of feet on the ground to walk through the buildings. It doesn't matter to me what certification they have. If they got it in basic training when they went to the junior college, I don't care where they got it. If they can just walk through and correct my issues, or not correct, but to tell me I have issues, that at least gets me focused the right direction. That's what we need. And so if there are areas, since there are areas throughout our state due to growth of finances for the government that are not meeting those needs, the question is, what can we do to help get those needs met? Not how qualified the person is necessarily that's going to go out there and make that observation.
Well, so I'm doing exactly what you said right now. We do that in my city right now. Fire company goes out and does a walkthrough, does a pre-fire survey, does a familiarization. I go to HEB, buy groceries, do the same thing there.
Yes.
So this is fine. I don't have a problem with this, but I want you to know from my level what our expectations are and what the realities of what we're doing is. That's all. Anything we do over and above to increase protection, safety, it's good with me. So, but there are some pitfalls here that need to be addressed as we go along through the process. So,
there's some pitfalls that as we go along through this process of changing the certification. The biggest pitfall is the properties that have not and will not be inspected. That's the pitfall.
Well, and I agree. So we do that as best we can, all of us do, but I don't need a basic inspector certification. I don't need even the fire inspector certification to do what I do, to walk through a business and tell them, you got to move your shredded materials from the front door. You can't block the dumpster. You can't park in front of the hydrant. You can't park in front of the connections in the back. That simple stuff, we do that every day.
Okay. So. And that's the part that I thought, as I understood, that some towns are having challenges getting done because of, like we say, it's a city's problem insofar as finances. That's where the problem is. There's the manpower, finances, money, whatever. But that doesn't help the building, the property owner, the tenant. It doesn't help us at all.
Okay. Thank you.
First off, let me ask, commissioners, are we ready to take action on this?
It's not working.
What are we taking action on? That's my question.
We have possible action.
What
on the proposal?
Well, I don't have a proposal in front of me. That's the issue.
Restate your proposal or reread it, because
what are we taking action on?
Just the proposal part.
To instruct staff to create this.
One certification to begin the alignment with NFPA.
To submit, to ask the ad hoc to submit documentation to the advisory committee? Is that what our action item is?
We've this been through the advisory committee. It's been through ad hoc committee.
Okay. You want to go with a full-blown...
It's time for us to make a decision on what we want to do.
I'll tell you straight up, I think I'm going to be the only one, but we need to leave it alone.
Well,
and I've been trying to speak, and I've waited to the end, and it seems like everybody's going to run over me on this, and that's fine. That's their prerogative. But there's a lot of things that have been discussed here that aren't accurate. Okay? That's my opinion. So if you're asking for a motion, I'm going to tell you, leave what we got alone. There's been a lot of discussion about it. That's my take on it. And if you want to hear my reasons why, I'll be happy to share them. But right now, I feel like I wanted to wait till after everybody talked to speak, and then you're making a motion to want to push something through.
I'm not making a motion at all.
He asked a question.
I'm asking the question.
Correct. I could tell you.
Because this has been on the commission's plate.
Long time.
For, I know, a year or better. And we just keep wanting to send it to a committee and send it to a committee. At some point in time, we have to make a decision, is what I'm saying, as a commission, on what are we comfortable doing.
That's all I'm saying.
Okay, Chief.
Could we have the report, just a part of the report from the committee?
That's the problem.
That should be what we were focusing on, either accepting or not accepting. Could we just that part be read?
Pat, can you read the proposal?
Thank you.
Again, please, from the committee.
The committee's recommendation was to direct staff to develop an Inspector 1 certification that is commensurate or aligns with NFPA Inspector 1. So in Chapter 4 of NFPA 1031 spells out what an Inspector 1 is.
Okay.
The recommendation of the committee, the unanimous recommendation of the committee, was to take that portion and then just to develop an Inspector 1 certification.
Okay, so in that comment from the committee, it says nothing about taking out or changing or doing anything. It just says develop a Inspector 1 certification.
That's correct, to develop an Inspector 1 certification.
Pat, does that not include Inspector 2 certification, Inspector 3 certification, plans review 1, plans review 2?
We're not there yet.
Okay.
I think that's the intent.
Intent is to, that's a good question. Thank you, Commissioner. It was the opinion of the committee that this solves the immediate concern of many of the people that have stood before us and asked that we consider something.
I understand.
In doing so, it also allows us to, at not a large expense, take existing curriculum data and lesson plans, actually, and to develop the program pretty quickly. It's already there. It's already being utilized. It's already in your curriculum. It just kind of separates it. We anticipate that the outcry will be continue that process, not necessarily from this horseshoe, okay, but from okay, that group of people, that they will see that this makes sense now. We understand. Now develop Inspector 2, which that data and curriculum is also in place. However, Inspector 3, we would need to go back and develop that. And, Mike, I see you shaking your head back there, but with the curriculum for all of that is available to us. It's just not in our database.
Do you want to speak to that?
Yes.
No, not right now.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. We've got to get this fixed first.
The stone's rolling. So
let's focus on Inspector.
Anyway, that's
your report.
Right now, okay. I think the chair is asking that this panel consider moving forward on the recommendation of the committee, and that is to develop, create, and then offer an Inspector 1 certification.
So moved.
Motion was made. I second that motion.
Okay, we have a motion by Doster to accept the recommendation of the ad hoc committee to move forward with a Fire Inspector 1 certification.
Second.
And a second by Commissioner Carson.
Discussion.
Discussion. Commissioner Gillette.
I did wait to the end to speak.
I love you, brother. I love you.
Let me get a snack.
I want to first apologize for not being able to come to the last meeting. Since y'all have heard it vented out, I want to give my opinion anyway. I don't think I'll win this vote, but I'll be consistent with what I've said. And a lot of people know that's my thing. I would like to clarify some things that some people have discussed here. I was not part of the ad hoc committee. I did write a letter, and I haven't really changed my position. I appreciate what the committee's doing. I think aligning things to NFPA helps. I'm not disagreeing with a lot of that stuff. I think there's several things that I think we need to bring up. First and foremost, there was discussion on increased amount of inspections. That's up to authority having jurisdiction. That is not us. I think the level of service determined by that community is based on their governing body and that governing body only. I think it's a misperception that people continue to say this Inspector 1 gets you more things. I've been in the Fire Marshal's office 22 years and I've seen all these things. I compromised in my last conversation that I was willing to take out plans examiner and keep 1 and 2 because I can see why that is what it is. I can tell you the plans examiner is huge. And I'll give you the example, and I'll continue to use this example. An engine company walks into a high-powered storage warehouse with an Inspector 1 certification, and how do they not know the fire protection needs to change based from a Class 4 commodity to a Group A plastic? Inspector 1 certification will not get them to that point, period. There's a bunch of stuff like that, like change of uses that I've dealt with day in and day out, that the Inspector 1 curriculum will not cover. I've taught it. I know it. That's why 1 and 2 was decided a long time ago to blend together. My compromise was to keep 1 and 2 for a basic inspector, and that's what I talked about. Not all fire departments do traditional company fire inspections. Smaller cities use their company officers to do full-blown construction inspections, underground inspections, above-ground tank inspections. The 2012 fire code is 430-plus pages. You're asking a company officer to know those types of things. I'm not sure that that's reasonable.
No.
I know we want a checklist of stuff that you want to say, okay, here's a checklist. Start checking the boxes, and hopefully you don't miss a box that changes an occupancy use. Inspector 1 and 2 curriculum should be taught together. That's how we teach it now. One piggybacks off 2. I'll remind you, company officers, most of their calls are EMS calls. And you need to keep in mind that they don't fight as many fires as they used to. For them to start retaining major things such as, does this compressor have a relief valve to... When you're talking about signing an inspection that Jim Reedy was talking about, sorry, Jim, didn't mean to do that to you. He's got valid concerns and points. That's why I'm very concerned. I know NFPA says, hey, 40 hours, you can get this. I get it. I don't disagree with it. I think you have to go back and look at the curriculum testing committee looked at all this to realize we need more than just an Inspector 1 to go through these buildings to address these things. And I've taught it. I've taught it at Teeks. I've taught it at other places. It's not as easy as people are saying. The CE solutions, and this is where I was talking to you about, the inspector is required to maintain the CE. Remember, we do the type A, type B stuff, and that's where I'm not sure that that was accurate in the answer, but I wanted to. So the next question was, why is plans examiner needed? I can tell you, I have taught a lot of departments. The people off the fire truck are the ones doing the plans examiner because the fire code mandates they got to submit it. It happens all the time. My staff struggles with some of the reviews because I have to do it, because they don't know. I think some of the things that change in the field, Commissioner McMakin, you said 2 o'clock in the morning, what does plans examiner have to do with it? I can tell you from the city of Frisco, all our plans are computer animated. If I can't read that plan to know where certain things are, I can't direct operations to do certain things. So yes, understanding basic plans, and I've said that to people 2 years ago that brought it to us, and the reality is it is important. However, I was willing to compromise taking plans examiner out. Understanding what, but Inspector 1 doesn't change that. Inspector 1 and 2 together seems like a reasonable way to go, and aligning 3 and 4 and plans examiner 1 and 2. Specialists in the field, I think the big thing to remember is we're putting a lot on company officers, and I get that, you know, if the liability part of it is, if I push the wrong drug as a paramedic, am I worried about getting sued for that or an inspector problem? I'm just telling you the reality out there. It happens. I know there's human error, but I think it's very tough for me to support just Inspector 1, even though the curriculum's been created, for the situations that all fire departments, because we have to look at, we are all representing all fire departments. We're not representing some who do company inspections and some that do not. I think the reality of the whole thing is we have to look at the smaller departments that use their operations personnel to do their required inspections that are non-annual inspections to everybody who is. I know you're trying to find a reasonable compromise, but, you know, I do think it's lessening a standard. and I'm not in agreement with y'all. I do agree that we need to line it with NFPA. But until you've looked at the curriculum one for one and look at the problems that are facing in the state of Texas, I think one and two need to go together to be the basic inspector. And then you increase the others based on lining the curriculum up with NFPA. And I'm going to lose the battle. I get it. But that doesn't mean that I'm telling you from experience, and I'm dealing with it daily, that these things you're all talking about are going to come to fruition. You're assuming that the truck company officer is going to call the fire marshal's office. Well, guess what? What if they don't? They have signed a paper on something that they probably don't have the training to make that decision. If the occupancy changed that should have had sprinklers in it and it didn't have sprinklers, you have an inspector that just went through the building and didn't know the code and should have caught that. And it happens more than y'all think. So that's my point. I'll support. I'm a team player. I do appreciate their work. I just think it's a complicated step from one to two. And if you've taught the class, one complements two, and two gets you to where they can go in the book and start researching stuff to give accurate answers to the citizen that deserves nothing but the best inspection that the jurisdiction can provide, because that's what we provide. Okay. And that's all I have. Thanks.
Okay. Again, we have... We have a motion to accept the ad hoc committee's recommendation for Inspector 1 certification. Continue with question or discussion.
And part of my concern here today is that I would have liked to have seen a written copy of the committee's recommendation other than hearing it read to me 10 minutes ago. I mean, that's difficult. I'm a visual guy. I like to highlight, copy, circle, read it multiple times and make an informed decision based off of the committee's recommendation. So I really can't say that I can support this based off something I just heard from a committee's recommendation 10 minutes ago. Secondly, I am in favor of, and I was in favor previously, of sending it to the ad hoc committee for a decision to be made and looking at their proposal. So I want to say I do support the committee's recommendation, but I think for me, I would rather look at draft language, and I think this still has to go to publicate. We have to create draft rules. We have to go to publication, vote on it to go to publication. We still have to vote on it for final adoption. And I'm not ready to take action. I don't know that that's the formal process that we've used in the past to send things. We don't take action to send things to the advisory committee on a normal situation. The advisory committee brings things to us for publication. And that's the direction I'd like to see. I don't know that I'm ready to say that I'm 100% behind this program until I read draft language. That's where I'm at. Quick and simple.
Mr. Chairman, I agree with Commissioner Gonzalez. And being one of the guys that I have and am on the apparatus to have to sign my name off. If you send me out, and I'm on the side of, I'm with a smaller city, but we saw last meeting Fort Worth came and they sent all their officers through. And I'll go back to what I said last meeting. If I'm the one that's having to sign that off, then that means that my city is sending me out there saying I have the adequate training in all aspects to sign off for that building to keep the business owner safe, his employees safe, my crew, and everybody. And if I'm the one that's signing that off, I just want to make sure that we are protecting our company officers. And I agree with Commissioner Gonzalez. I'm not comfortable just rushing this through. I do appreciate the work, and we did have representatives on there, and I'm completely with following the NFPA standard because that gives us something to fall back on. But I'm not for just voting for something just for the sake of because it's been on our desk or on our table forever. I mean, I think we need to make it right so it's not having to be changed in the future. So.
Mr. Carson?
I second the motion, but my motion can be modified if we can get some direction as to which direction do we need to send this recommendation in order to get a written piece that can be published for review and go to the next step. So should the motion be sending the recommendation to a to the full-timers, to the military, so you know what I'm talking about, to you guys.
Staff.
Okay.
Staff.
So that they can bring back us written wording that could be published at this point, and then maybe for review at the next meeting. Where can we send this so that we can make a final decision on this? Because all the conversation I'm hearing that everybody's concerned with is buildings. We have more people in business that just rent space. We're tenants. We don't own buildings. Small business people are in more abundance than people who own buildings. We rent from those people. We are not getting inspected. Let's fix the immediate problem and anticipate an understanding that it's not going to be the greatest for everybody, but the problem is there. So which direction do we need to, how do we need to amend the motion to get this thing off the table and go into the next?
You don't. Just vote on it.
I own it. Mr. Anderson?
I think there's a little misunderstanding. I don't believe anybody's trying to rush anything through here. That's certainly not, I don't think, the chairman's intent. I think that what is maybe being misunderstood, we're not going to make this rule today. We're just giving staff, if this motion carries, instruction to put together the curriculum and the written document as to how it will be and what it will consist of. And either I'm unclear if we're going to send it through the advisory committee again or bring it straight back to us. But either way, I don't think we're trying to negate any of our processes. Staff is still going to put it together. It's still going to have to be published and voted on at a later date. This is just some direction that we want to get things off a dead center. I don't think we're trying to avoid any process, and I think this commission has the authority to ask the staff or the advisory board whatever they want to ask them and instruct them to move in certain directions. So that being said, I don't think the motion needs to change because we will see all this again before it is approved.
All right, thank you.
And I call for the question.
Okay, question has been called. All in favor of
aye.
The motion?
Aye.
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 We need to do this by right.
Yeah, probably. Do it by hand.
Show. Go show hands, please.
Okay, all in favor, raise your hand. All opposed?
Did you get them, Deb?
Okay. Motion carries. Okay, item number 8.
Caught me off guard. Even though I got 8 of them. I zapped out. You got 8. Anybody got the item 8 up?
I do.
Sorry. Mine disappeared by accident.
Item number 8 is new matters from the commission staff or public for discussion or at future commission meetings.
Disappeared.
Anybody have anything? New matters? Hearing on item number 9.
Discussion and possible action on future meeting dates.
We have the April dates.
All of your dates.
All the dates already.
Can they be, I didn't get them from the last meeting. Is there any way you can just say them real quick? I understand. Trust me. I would have if I could have.
But you didn't.
Your April meeting is April 27th.
Okay.
Starting at 10 a.m.
27.
Commissioner Rule saying to be inspector, you got to have these.
The July meeting is a workshop on July the 12th, beginning at 2 p.m., and commission meeting on July 13th, beginning at 9 a.m. And then your October meeting is October 26th, beginning at 10 a.m.
Thank you very much. The next one.
Any other discussion on future meeting dates? Item number 10.
Matters from the Firefighter Advisory Committee, including but not limited to discussion of possible final adoption of proposed amendments, new sections, and repeals as follows. Discussion of possible action regarding proposed amendments to Title 37 TAC, Chapter 403, Criminal Convictions and Eligibility for Certification.
So
yes. Morning, Commissioners. Jim Reedy from the Firefighter Advisory Committee. We have three for final adoption today. The first one is on the early review for eligibility. We typically in the past did not charge for the early review. We were just being nice guys and guys and ladies. And so now we're going to charge. So there's a criteria for it. You'll see on the page with the underlined sections. It has a 90-day window. Says there's a fee assessed, and the fee will be in the next item. And this is the second time you've seen this, so this is for final adoption.
Make a motion to approve.
Second.
I have a motion by Commissioner Ickes, Gillette. Second by Commissioner Anderson.
Correct.
Discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
10-2, discussion, possible action regarding proposed amendments to Title 37 TAC, Chapter 431, fees.
And so this is the fee for the early review. You'll see the one small section, early review fees, and non-refundable fee is $75 for each early review. And that's the review of their criminal history.
Make a motion to accept for final adoption.
Second.
This is not final.
A motion by Commissioner Perez, seconded by Commissioner Anderson.
I need to correct something. I said 431 fees. It should be 37 TAC, Chapter 437 fees. I apologize.
Okay. We knew what you meant.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Item 3, discussion and possible action regarding proposed amendments to Title 37 TAC, Chapter 457, Minimum Standards for Incident Safety Officer Certification.
Commissioners, you'll see on the first page there's some word editing, smithing, whatever you want to call it. We're going from commission approved to in-state, and we're also pointing out the applicable NFPA standards that we're going to use. And this is all in an effort to, I guess, go to, I guess we would say performance-based or, what do we call that?
Competency-based.
Competency-based. And based on the NFPA standards. So.
Move for final adoption.
Second.
Thank you, Chief Ickes.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Gonzalez, seconded by Commissioner Ickes. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Thank you.
Item number 11.
Decisions of the Executive Director in contested cases and consent orders.
Commissioners, nothing to report on this agenda item.
Okay. Executive session. Do we have a need for an executive session.
Still have one more thing?
We still have status of division functions, Chief.
Okay.
11B.
Status of division functions from the executive director.
Commissioners, you have your quarterly reports from the various sections there before you. I'm happy to answer any questions. In a nutshell, I can tell you it's been very busy. Testing has been incredibly busy. We continue to see a lot of interest in professional development certifications as opposed to the mandatory. We're getting a lot of interest in those, continued interest. And, of course, when testing is busy, certification quickly follows. So it has been a busy time for us. We're working diligently on the data management system. I think we're getting very close to beginning to launch a lot of the functions, including online testing. So we're excited about that as well. But I'm happy to answer any questions you might have on the reports there.
Any questions? Okay. Now, item 12.
Item 12, executive session pursuant to Section 551.074 Texas Government Code for the discussion of personnel matters, the appointment, employment, compensation, evaluation, reassignment, duties, discipline, or dismissal of the executive director, and the appointment, employment, reassignment, or duties of personnel acting as an interim basis, as on an interim basis in this position.
We see any need for executive session? Hearing none, we'll move forward. Item 13.
Open session for further discussion of possible action regarding preceding agenda item, which there was none.
Any future agenda items?
Preceding
agenda item, excuse me.
This was just to reopen following executive session, so you really don't have anything.
We'd like to have a real quick comment for staff, if you have a second.
On future agenda items, and this is not necessarily agenda item 10, but I would like to see staff work to develop a document that would better supply our users with information on how CEs are conducted or are received, so that it's in a more readable format, if you will. Put it in a box, I don't care. Something that on your annual CEs that are required, the 18 hours, the plus two, the plus two, the plus two level, I believe they're one and two type courses. Is that right?
It's not A, B, list. No, it is level one and level
two. Level one and level two. Level one is continuing education related to something you've already learned. Level two is new items.
Right.
And we could have that in a format that's a single page document that's easy for the user to understand what that means. That's what I'm really looking for. A graph, a box, something
kind of
to post on our website that we could have.
We'll
that they could look at to say, okay, I've got, these are the certifications I have, these are the hours that I need, and these are level one, level two type courses, examples. That's what I'm looking for. Right now we just really have the statute posted, and sometimes that may be difficult to
a lot of
those questions.
My guess is we probably have a half a dozen documents on file over there and on people's computers that we've had to create and have used in meetings and that kind of thing. We'll take a look at those and we'll get one posted on the website.
And mainly for mine, it's about the CE hours, that 18 plus 2 plus 2, level 1, level 2 courses. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, one thing.
Okay.
I apologize. Perhaps I'm out of order or out of the order. To the staff, Tim, if you'll recall, there was an email sent this past week about the availability of overnight shipping for requests to the commission, and that a P.O. box would not accept United Postal Service overnight.
That's correct.
And so there was a request to see if we could add an actual physical address to the web page or whatever. I just assured that individual that we would bring that forward, and
ask for some type of resolve and notification.
My guess is it's probably a Facilities Commission issue there.
Right.
We depend upon, for our mail service, we depend upon a courier to pick all that up. Therefore, we're really stuck with using, for mail, postal service stuff, even for overnight mail, we're stuck with using the P.O. box. Any delivery service, UPS, FedEx, any of the other delivery services, they can deliver to the physical address.
So I guess just for clarification, can we just note that somehow? I don't know that it happens a lot to you, but in this case, if you'll recall, they were at a deadline trying to get approval, course approval, and also location approval. And
I'll double check. I was thinking we had it on the website, but I'll double check and make
sure. And we may. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. I'd like to make one comment to the commissioners. There was a comment made about trying to rush something through. Okay. It was never my intent to rush something through. If I was going to try to rush something through, I would have done it a year ago. Okay. This issue that we just finished with has been talked about. Mm-hmm. It has gone through two committees. And we have beat this horse to death. And it's incumbent upon this commission to make decisions based on that. And this being on our plate for as long as it has and us not making a decision doesn't look good to our constituents out there. So, did I want action taken today? One way or another?
Yes.
Yes, because it was time. But at no time did I try to rush this through.
That's all I'm going to say.
I would completely agree.
That's pretty
awesome. Item 14.
Adjournment.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second by Commissioner Carson, seconded by Commissioner Doster to adjourn. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Adjourn.
All right, brother. I just keep you safe.